Today, I want to talk about some of the tax changes proposed in the 2016 budget just submitted by President Obama. It would be a great public service if we could get the predicted presidential candidates to respond to some of the specific elements of his proposals. I wish those interested in running for the Democratic nomination would be forced to explain which of these proposals she or he supports and which he or she doesn't support, and most importantly, why. The Republicans probably have it easier because they can just complain about how many billions or trillions of dollars of tax increases are in that proposal and leave it at that. But it would be great to force them to get more specific about their objections. Substantively, the proposals make a lot of sense. For instance, Obama wants to reduce the tax advantages to receiving income in the form of capital gains, income from the sale of stock or other assets that have appreciated since they were first bought. Very few public finance economists believe that lower taxes on capital gains are justified on either efficiency or equity grounds. An outstanding public finance economist working for Ronald Reagan's Treasury Department in 1985, a man I know and respect highly, Eugene Sterling, wrote the first draft of what became the Tax Reform Act of 1986. A key measure removed the preferential treatment for capital gains. But this lasted only a few years. President Clinton restored the preference, and President George W. Bush widened it, cutting the top rate to 15%. Obama's deal with the Republicans in 2012 raised the top rate to 23%, still well below the 39% for ordinary income. Obama's budget proposal now wants to raise that rate up to 28%, still below 39%, but closer. Why should someone who makes $200,000 selling stock pay a lower rate than someone who makes the same amount working as a doctor, lawyer, or engineer? This violates a major tax principle, horizontal equity, which says that people in the same circumstance should pay the same taxes. It also violates the basic principle of progressivity in the tax system, that those with greater ability to pay higher incomes should be taxed at a higher rate. 95% of the benefit from the capital gains preference goes to those making more than $200,000 a year. The reason Warren Buffett pays at a lower overall rate than his secretary, the reason Mitt Romney showed an amazingly low rate when he released his tax returns, is in large part due to the preferential treatment of capital gains. There's one other proposal in Obama's budget that relates to capital gains. He proposes that when a person dies and leaves assets to his or her heirs, they should have to pay the capital gains tax on the increase in the value of those assets. Currently, the value of the asset is automatically raised to its current value with no tax paid at all. Given that the estate tax exempts the first $5.43 million, imposing a 28% tax on gains on inherited assets will not be a terrible burden. In fact, it will partially make up for the dramatic reduction in the scope of the estate tax over the last decade. The budget proposes that the revenue gained by raising taxes on high-income people be used to expand tax credits for higher education, to create a $500 tax credit for families with two working parents, and to offer some parents child care tax breaks of as much as $3,000 a year. This makes tremendous economic sense. It would be great if potential presidential candidates were forced to explain why they oppose this tax relief for middle-class families just to protect advantages that mostly accrue to the top 1%.